pretty good chunk of things that are happening. And so we want to jump right into 1 Peter this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2. We will do the entire chapter this morning because we're on target for Christmas. We're not rushing through it, but it is a very powerful chapter. It's a little shorter, so we will be able to nail that. Last night, I was able to go do a wedding down at Dot Mill for a couple that was in our church, a younger couple. And it was a beautiful wedding. And when I stood up there and did the vows for them and they repeated them, they've been coming to church for a couple years now. And I found it very interesting that I've been able to sit back and watch the change in their life. They weren't Christians when they first came, gave their lives to Jesus, and they are following him wholeheartedly. And one of the things that I loved about it was they wanted to honor what the Bible had to say about a man and a woman being created, about God, who God created marriage. Man did not create marriage. It's God's idea. And God put a man and a woman together. And the Bible says in Genesis and in Matthew 19, Jesus said it again. Haven't you read from the scriptures that from the very beginning, this is God's design. This is what God does. I stood there in front of many witnesses last night and preached and did this wedding. And I thought, how incredible is it that I'm literally seeing life change right in front of my eyes with a couple that says we want to honor God in every area. Church, that's what it's about. It's about transformation. It's about becoming who God wants you to be and what he is shaping you into. As we get into 1 Peter today, chapter 2, God is doing something great here at Endurance Church. I've been here 28 years. I'm seeing something happen that we have been praying for and dreaming about. God's moving in a powerful way in individuals and families. But I must tell you, we must stay aware and stay on track. It is very easy, okay, and the Bible has many warnings for believers. Don't get off the path. Make sure you stay straight. Stay with God. Stay connected with Jesus. Let him be your bullseye and your target. And Proverbs, I'm going to go to Proverbs real quick before we go to the book of Peter. Proverbs chapter 3, and I'll have it on the screen for you, says this. Solomon writes, "My child, never forget the things that I have taught you." So he's talking about, I've passed on all these biblical values to you and the commands of God. Don't let them go. "Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your what? Heart." And that's what God's interested in, is in the heart today. "Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a great reputation," a good reputation. Verse 5, this is the one we're familiar with. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding," or don't lean on your own understanding. Okay? "Acknowledge him," or seek him, "in everything that you do, and he will show you which path to take." He'll make straight your paths. Verse 7, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from" what, church? Okay, as we get into the book of Peter today, 1 Peter chapter 2 addresses evil head on. And we have seen what evil has done in the last few weeks. We've seen that evil is out there, and even in our area. Hats off in our prayers to our first responders here in our county and in our city and in our state. We thank them for being on the front lines when a phone call comes in. Is anybody with me on that? I hope you pray for our law enforcement. Because if anybody is on the front lines of evil, they are on the front lines of evil within a moment. And anything can happen at any moment. And so we live in a very evil world. And I know that some of you grew up in the Ozarks. You grew up in the good times. But I'm telling you, even our county has very much evil. And so the Bible is very clear. Get rid of it all. Get rid of it all. Don't open the door. Don't do anything with evil. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "So get rid of" how much evil behavior? All of it, church. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter. And he says, "Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all kinds of unkind speech." Okay? It's the whole package. And evil, and we'll get into this in a moment, it means malice. So malice means any type of evil thought or desire that you have. So all of us, when we see something that we are standing up against, and we say, "Hey, that is not right," it's an open door for evil to get into our hearts and us want to do something about that. And you have to make sure that your heart always honors God. I'm not talking about responding to evil, because if somebody's hurting someone innocent, I would hope everyone in here would jump in. That's a mandate of humanity, not just biblical humanity. But as we look at this, Ephesians 4:31, the Apostle Paul goes on to say this: get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, get rid of harsh words and slander, as well as all types of what kind of behavior? Evil. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 puts it this way: dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners here to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. So don't give in to the desires of this world, because if you open the door, what's interesting is there's a scripture, and it talks about in the New Testament that if you have evil in your home, or you open up to any type of evil, that all kinds of evil can come in. The open door gives all evil access. So get rid of means to lay it aside, that you are not carrying it anymore. Your heart, your mind, and your hands are free from evil. Your life as a Christian cannot grow unless sin is renounced by your life, by you. So sin will stunt and stop your growth in Christ. There are several scriptures in the Bible, matter of fact, many, that talk about that if you cherish sin in your heart or you continue in sin, that it does put a blockade between you and God. And what's interesting is, if you'll look at the psalmist, I preached on this several times. I call this the downward spiral of sin. Because if you don't get rid of the first part, then by the fourth part, you're committing great sin before God. So the psalmist, as he cries out to God, he doesn't want anything in between him and God. And so Psalm chapter 19, verses 12 through 14, and some of you may remember me preaching on this several times. How can I know all the sins lurking in whose heart? My heart. I got to take responsibility, okay? And then the cry to God is, cleanse me from these secret sins. Not only do I have sins in my heart, Lord, I've allowed secret sins to come in that nobody knows about. Keep your servant from deliberate sins, that I don't do them willfully. I don't want them to control me. And then watch this. If you do that for me, God, and I give these to you, then I will be free of guilt and innocent of what kind of sin? Great sin. You can see the spiral. You can see how it snowballs from having sin in your heart to moving to secret sins. And then, once you have secret sin, you begin to get numb, and you're just like, well, might as well do it publicly. Who cares? And then by the time you get to a point like that, you are going to commit great sin before God. And so, here's the way you handle this. Verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, again, everything's about the heart, be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I shared last weekend, I had Rooney. She told her dad during nap time, that, Dad, you just need to be quiet right now. And gave the, just pointed just like that. Well, we've had Rooney this weekend. So she's still 2 years old. And man, does she give her Gigi fits last night for a bath. I bet for 5 minutes. Literally, she would run into the bathroom and run back out. And you know, with grandkids, you're just a little bit more lenient. Is anybody with me? You kind of are. You know, if your kids came up to you and said, hey, can I have ice cream before dinner? You're like, absolutely not. Well, I've given Rooney ice cream before dinner, so things change. Is anybody with me? But I remember last night, Beth had to say, listen, young lady, that's enough. You do not treat your Gigi and Pops like this, okay? You are supposed to listen to us. Burst into tears. Two-year-old little heart. Is anybody with me? But the sin nature, she was fighting the sin nature, okay, that she's got in her two-year-old little heart, man. I mean, it's just... it is what it is. And as you look at this, we all, every human has sin passed down to them. And so Rooney, as she grows up, she's got parents that are going to raise her for Jesus. She's got grandparents that are going to raise her for Jesus. She told her mom and dad this week, they go to Connect Church up in Springfield. And she told her mom and dad this week, she said, I am not going to Connect Kids this week. She said, I'm going to Pop's Church, mom and dad. That's what she said. And then she goes, endurance. And she's learning. She's learning that church is a vital part of her life, and it's going to be in her raising. And when you look at this, Psalm 66:18 says this, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So sin does block our relationship with the Lord. 1 Peter 3:7 puts it like this, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as long as you live together. She may be the weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner and God's gift to new life. Treat her as you should, watch this, so your prayers will not be hindered. Think about that, church. That's powerful. I mean, if we don't watch our hearts, then our connection with God's going to be pretty bad. And how do you fix that? 1 John 1:9. I mean, the Bible says if you confess your sins to him, he's faithful and he's just to forgive you how many of your sins? All of them. And to cleanse you from all wickedness and unrighteousness. I mean, it's an offer from God to have a pure heart before him while we live. And I also think of Psalm 103:12. The Bible says he has removed our transgressions or our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. So when you ask for forgiveness, okay, God does his part in removing those. We got to stop. We got to do our part by not beating ourselves up anymore over where we've screwed up and messed up. Because my hand's up. I don't know if anybody else has screwed up in this place before, but my hand's up. Okay? And the fact is, man, for God to be able to forgive us is an incredible thing. See, the act of repentance doesn't require perfection. It requires honesty. And the reason that we have to go to God in repentance is because we're not perfect. Okay? And that's a fact. Excuse me, that's a fact. That is an absolute fact that we need to go to God in repentance because we fall short. And the Bible tells us that. And I'm not here to beat you up this morning. I'm here to tell you that God's given you an incredible invitation to be free and have a pure heart before him. And then as you worship him, as you honor him, he's honored by that because your heart is his. And Titus 3:5-6 puts it like this. He saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins. He has given us new birth and a new life by the Holy Spirit. He generously has poured out the Holy Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So here's what's interesting. The word Savior, I think, is used 37 times in the Bible. The word Lord, over 700 times in the Bible. I'm glad Jesus is my Savior today, but church, he wants your heart. He wants to be Lord over every area. And when you honor him with your heart and with your life, that's when God begins to move in a very powerful way in our lives. See, the word of God works. It's always working when you give it a chance. Romans 10:17 puts it like this, and the Bible says this, so faith comes from hearing, okay, and hearing the good news about Christ. So it's working. When you hear the preaching or you read your Bible or you hear a sermon and those scriptures are working in your life to strengthen your faith and make your faith bigger in God. That's how that works. Okay? If you want faith, you need to hear the word of God. You need to hear the scriptures because that's how you get faith. That's what the Bible says. And so the Bible also puts it like this. Why is that so important? Because Peter says this in verse 12. He puts it like this, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and watch this, they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Our example as a Christian is huge in everybody that we meet. I'm not talking about not taking a stand. You will take heat for taking a stand, I promise you, okay? You will take a heat big time for standing for Jesus and standing for what's right. But listen, if we don't stand for what's right, the next generation is not going to know what to stand for. So we lead the way. And I'm going to be honest with you. When we prayed over 200 men last week here on Sunday morning, I went home. I've been here for 28 years. That was powerful, church. That was powerful to see men respond that I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. And we will change this area. We will turn this area upside down because of the example that we show. And I've been hearing a lot about, man, I wonder if America's going to have an uprising. And listen, here's the deal, okay? When men and women of God rise up and set the example and set the tone for an area, you don't need an uprising in the area because you've already got people setting the influence and the tone for it. They're already showing people how to live. They're already setting the standard, the atmosphere. And when it comes to evil, we've got to be very careful. Verse 15 puts it like this, and he says, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. So you can imagine 30 years as a pastor, I've had maybe 3 or 4 people say something over 30 years. I'm just kidding. It's probably been thousands. when we took a stand Last year in this community, against a certain event that happened here, within 4 weeks, I had 1,800 of the nastiest messages that you would ever read, and you would not read those to your kids. It went insane. That's the only word I can think of, insano. And I know this, I would do it all over again, because if it will save children and it will save families, we must stand up for Jesus Christ. You cannot be ashamed, and you cannot back down. And so when evil shows its ugly head, the church has to stand up. And what's interesting is, if you look at this, what is evil and evil behavior? Well, 1 Peter 2:1 again says, get rid of all of it. Be done with all the deceit and the hypocrisy, the jealousy, and all the unkind speech. And when you look at what the word evil means, it literally means malice, which means don't have an evil motive or intention in your heart. And I'll be honest with you, that's a hard thing not to do, because our hearts want to take revenge at times. I'll be honest with you, it does. Yeah, your pastor said there have been times that I've wanted to take revenge on situations. I'll be honest with you. I know I'm not the only one in this place. We all fight that. Or if you see evil, you want to do something about that. And I've had men tell me, it's like, man, why did God put me in the New Testament as a man and not the Old Testament? I mean, they got to deal with evil straight up, right? And when you look at that, I understand that. I don't want evil to hit our children. I don't want evil to show itself to my granddaughter. And I still, my daughter and my son are 28 and 25. I still protect them with everything I've got. I don't want evil to enter their home or influence them. And so when you look at this, malice and evil, this word malice is used 11 times in the New Testament. And it says to get rid of any evil intentions or thoughts. And wickedness comes from the devil, but it also comes from our own heart too. And we need to understand that our hearts are wicked. Okay? Anybody's capable of anything if you open the door to that. And we don't like to hear that, but it's true. That's why every day I've got to watch my life, and every day you need to watch yours. Okay? With our world and all the boiling points, there's so many situations that we could allow evil to enter our hearts. But I want you to see this. Jeremiah 17:9 puts it to the person. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things, and it's desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Well, we see how bad it is because we see evil play itself out. But when he talks about this, our own hearts, we have to watch our motives. We have to make sure that our hearts are God's. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course that your life takes. That's a powerful verse right there. And church, I'll be honest with you. I love many, many of the people in here because I've gotten to know you. But the fact is, did you know that all of us are capable to open our hearts up to something bad? Something evil? We've got to keep each other accountable. We need to make sure we watch our lives. See, I don't have these two verses up there, but I'm going to read them to you because I've been doing this for 30 years, and I take this very serious as a pastor. This is not my church, and this is not your church. This is Christ's church. He's the head of the church, and he has allowed us to be a part of what he's doing. So, yes, is it my church and your church together? Absolutely. But we've got to remember and understand this is Jesus's church. How do we know that? Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says this, keep watch over yourselves, and he's talking to pastors, keep watch over yourselves and all of the flock which the Holy Spirit has placed you as an overseer. I take that very serious. He says to the pastors, be shepherds of the church which Jesus Christ bought with his own blood. I didn't buy the church with my own blood. Jesus did. So this is his church. Okay, I understand that, but I also understand the role that I play as a pastor or an overseer, and I understand the role that you play as a believer, and that is this. This is a very serious thing in which we honor Christ. Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, you're a young pastor in 1 Timothy 4:16. Watch your life and watch your doctrine closely. Persevere in each one of them, because if you do, you will save yourself and you will save everyone that listens to you. That's a very stern warning from Paul to a pastor. Church, my point is this, that our lives give more influence than we realize to people. If Peter said, Watch your life so that your neighbors can see your example, your unbelieving neighbors. And guess what? They're going to see your life, that you're not a hypocrite. They're going to see you're real for Jesus. And one of these days, it may be the very thing that brings them to salvation. They may give their lives to the Lord. And again, when you look at the power of what Peter's talking about, I mean, I look at my best influence that I can have, and it's the life that I live, not my age. I'm 50 years old. So there's people that have called me a very young pastor. I took over as a lead pastor at 36 years old. Man, I got a lot of heck for it because I was young. Hey, I'm still learning. But I would tell you this. It's not about your age. It's about the life that you live. Okay? Because if somebody is of older age in here, do you realize the life that you live can still impact and outlive your age? That's a powerful thing, church. And yes, does wisdom come with more age? Sure it does. You've seen more. You've learned more. You've been through it. Okay? Younger generations have not seen it and been through it yet. So I love the beauty of a local church. Because when you have the older and the younger generations, what you've got is you've got the wisdom and you've got the zeal. And I've met a few people that are older, that are young at heart. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't stop them. Is anybody with me? I mean, they're just loving life and loving Jesus. And the combination of how God builds his church is an incredible thing. So I need to keep tabs on my own heart. You need to keep tabs on yours. How do we do that together? By what we're doing this morning, by what we do on Wednesday nights. And I've got to make sure no evil gets into my life or yours. 1 Peter 2:16 puts it like this. And he says this, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. That's powerful this morning. I mean, don't use your life and your freedom as a cover up for evil, but instead show people Jesus. Man, be unashamed. And I love when you look at Romans 1:29, Paul calls it as it is. He says this, he says their lives became full of every kind of wickedness or every kind of evil, every kind of sin, every kind of greed and hate and envy and murder and quarreling and deception and malicious behavior, all evil behavior and gossip. How did that happen? They opened the door to evil. And I promise you this, we may not like this, but there are people who are given over to a reprobate mind while they're here on earth. I'm going to be very transparent and candid with you this morning. My wife's not here. She's with Rooney, but I'll share this in the second service too. We've talked about it. My wife's dad was given over to a reprobate mind. He was a sick monster, very sinful. He did horrific things. And so not only did he do horrific things to my wife when she was a child, but he continued to do this throughout his life. He went to prison for it. He got out of prison, and he came and tried all this stuff again at different places. Very evil man. And literally, when you would look into his eyes, you literally could see a demon. You literally could see the demonic in there. And he had been given over to what we call a reprobate mind. He did not want to repent. He did not want to change. And God gave him over to what he became. And I physically watched that happen all of those years. And he died a monster. Period. He died last year, and he died unrepentant and died a monster. And I am telling you, there is evil. There's evil out there, and it's even people that we know. And I don't know what all he opened his life up to, but he has hurt many people over the years. He should have never been let out of prison when he went. And I'm just trying to be honest and transparent with you. It hits all of us. There are people that are given over to their evil even while they're alive, not just in judgment and for eternity. And church, as we look at this, we've got to be careful. So how do you fix this? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 puts it like this. Like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. And here's what he says. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Peter's not telling you to stay on spiritual milk, because we know in Hebrews and in Corinthians, we know that the Apostle Paul addresses that. And he says, listen, you guys have been on spiritual milk, but you've never moved to solid food. You need to grow up. Some of you are teachers, and you still don't even know the simple things of God. And he says, you're living off milk, and you need to be on solid food. You're not helping the church because you refuse to grow. So there are scriptures like that, but that's not what this context is. This context is saying as a newborn baby craves milk, that should be the hunger that we have. I'm thinking about this. I got two little grandbabies coming in October, on October 21st and October 23rd, at two different hospitals in Springfield. My life's getting ready to change, but I can tell you, my son's life is getting ready to change because this is his first baby, and then my daughter's having her second baby. And I've already told my son, my daughter's been through this before. She knows how to do this. She's got Rooney. But I told my son, get ready for long nights and lots of crying. And be patient with that baby. And here's how you do this. When that baby starts to scream, give that baby milk. Is anybody with me? That baby is screaming because that baby is hungry. And when I was thinking about this, I thought, man, you know, spiritually, that's what Peter is telling us, is that if you want to live a life before God that pleases God, then you need to crave what God can give you. You need to crave the good things and taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, again, when you look at a baby, if that baby's crying, they want milk. And again, when you look at the goal, what's the goal? So that you will grow into the full experience of salvation. You don't want to be saved and just barely go along in this thing. You want to see God do his full thing in your life and in your family. I don't want just part of God. I want all of God. And why desire this? Because God has shown his kindness to each one of us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, and now you receive God's mercy. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And the psalmist even says that in Psalm 34:8. He puts it this way, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. God's a good God. And guess what? We live in an evil world. And sometimes we tie the evil towards God. But did you know James says that God is the perfect Heavenly Father who gives incredible gifts to his kids because he loves us. And he says he's not like a shifting shadow. There's no shadow or gray areas with God. God is simply good and God is simply great. And church, we owe him everything with that. See, the point is, at salvation, you experience the mercy and the grace of God and his forgiveness. And this causes us to then pursue God even more. I've seen his kindness. I've seen his compassion. I've seen his forgiveness. And honestly, I owe him everything. I shouldn't be here this morning, and you shouldn't be here this morning, but you're here this morning because of God's kindness. And how do we do this? I give up everything that I am for all that he is. That's how you make the transfer. That's how you do it. You have to give up everything you are for everything that he is. And if you don't think that's the call, look at the apostles. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were doing everything. They dropped their nets at once and they followed Jesus. And I was sharing last week, we're in the book of Peter. Did you know that Peter, the apostle Peter, was crucified upside down? They were going to do a Roman crucifixion on him and crucify him upright. And he said, absolutely not. I will not be crucified the way my Lord was crucified. So they turned it around. He was crucified upside down. And did you know that they crucified his wife? She did the same thing. She was crucified to the cross. And as they crucified her, she was singing praises and hymns to God. And here I thought that I had a strong faith in God. Anybody with me? I mean, church, when we look at what it means to give everything I am for all that he is, it's everything that we are. And Jesus is our life source. None of us would be here without Christ. You get rid of all sin and admit your need for him. Why? Because he offers his mercy and kindness to forgive. So Jesus was and is rejected by many people today. And the Bible says this in 1 Peter 2:5. It says, and you are the living stones that God is building into spiritual temples. So somehow or another, we were dead spiritually because of sin, but now since we have Jesus, we're alive. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about that in depth. It says you were dead in your sins, but now you're alive in Christ. And church, I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. The Word of God has the answers. And if we do this thing together, we are able to see God move in a powerful way in our lives. What's the result of your salvation and getting rid of evil? That you become living stones. That you are writing history. for God as God changes your life. In 1 Peter 2:9, I love these scriptures here because it says this, and this is so powerful, but you are not like that. Okay? You're not like the world anymore. You're not like how you used to be. And watch what he says here. He says this. He says, you're a chosen people. You're royal priests. I was thinking about that. When he says you're royal priests, you're the priest over your home. Okay? You're the priest over the church. And I'm not talking about a Catholic priest. Okay? I'm not getting into Catholicism today where people worship Mary, and that's not the priest I'm talking about. See, when you look at what the word priest is here, it means that you are the godly person that God has raised you up to be and the leader you should be towards God. What's interesting is royal priest or holy priest means this, an elect privilege, cleansed from sins, clothed for service, anointed by the Holy Spirit's power for service, prepared in every way for service, ordained to be obedient to the Lord. Honor God's word and offer up spiritual sacrifices to Him. Walk with God. Impact sinners' lives for change. And you're messengers of God. Now, that's what that means. And that's powerful. Because it's not just a pastor that has that, or somebody on pastoral staff or a deacon. That's every person. This is open up to men and women. That we are all the priesthood of God. Because the veil was torn. So what happened was, there was a place called the Holy of Holies, and only the leader, the priest, could go in. Okay? So when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that veil was torn in two, and there's no need for the Holy of Holies here on this earth anymore, because anybody can access Jesus now. Church, you ought to celebrate that. You don't have to rely on anyone else for your relationship with the Lord. You have direct access to God. To pray to God anytime, anywhere, in any situation, you have direct access to God now. That is so powerful. And to think that God has opened that up. Verse 9 says this, that you are God's own possession. Verse 9 says that He rescued us out of darkness into the wonderful light or marvelous light. So what does it all mean this morning? To get rid of all evil? Let me wrap it up for you today. A life free of evil will have a submissive heart for the right authority. So we've all been through this. Let me just be candid with you. There are very, very corrupt people in our world. They need to be held accountable. I just heard and watched a video that one of my friends posted yesterday. And Dan Bongino said, hey, if you're in this United States and you are corrupt and you're in any type of leadership, we are coming after you, buddy. Is anybody with me on that? Amen. Thank God we've got leaders rising up in our nation that says enough. With enough of the corruption, enough of the evil, okay? That from the top down in our nation, let us honor God. I've never seen anything like I saw last Sunday at Charlie Kirk's funeral. I mean, I'm telling you, the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached from beginning to end, from top leaders down to people we didn't know, and Jesus had the stage last week. Powerful. And church, if we don't see what God is trying to do and stir up in our nation, we're missing it. What He's doing is He's trying to get people to leave evil and live for good. To live for God. And as you look at this, verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 2 says this. And again, this book is so powerful. It says, for the Lord's sake. Everybody say the Lord's sake. This is how you do this. If you go to a job where you have a boss that is not a believer, and I'm not saying he's corrupt or whatever, or she is, but if there's some tough stuff there, okay, what you do is you do this for the Lord's sake, because God's got you there right now. I've got a man, when we went through the book of Psalms on Wednesday nights for 3 years, we took 3 years, we did a chapter every single Wednesday night, and it was life-changing, and there was a man that was here every Wednesday night, and he would come up, and he even testified about this to the church. He came up and he said, I need to tell you guys something. I've got a very hard, harsh, bad boss. And he said, every Wednesday night, whatever song that we go over on Thursday morning, my boss does what we talked about and I'm able to get through that and pray through that and be the example, because the Psalms that we went through the night before was the very Psalm that dealt with what I dealt with that bad leader. He did it for the Lord's sake. Could he have punched him in the mouth? Absolutely. Is anybody with me? You ever felt like punching somebody in the mouth? Half of you are liars in here. All of us have felt like that. Okay, a good throat punch every once in a while just does the body good, right? Anybody with me? That's how you feel, right? But for the Lord's sake, watch this. For the Lord's sake, you submit to all human authority. And he talks about kings and officials and that he's appointed. And I would tell you this. Right now, you're wheeling around. Well, wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to stand up against evil and corruptness? I'll get to that in a moment. I'm just telling you how God wants us to live. And again, watch what he says here. He says, if you live and you do this way, those authority are going to see that. That's the reason that you don't go off or that you don't do a throat punch or whatever it may be. You're living an example, even if authority is harsh, brash, and even bad at times. And listen, you have every right to get out of where you're at and go somewhere else. But I would tell you this, if God's got you there, he's got you there for a reason. Okay? And you need to be there and be faithful through that. But there is also a question, and I put it down. Jerry, what about if those leaders are bad or if they're corrupt or evil? You have to take a stand. The apostles in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, I love what they said here. They told them, don't you ever speak in the name of Jesus. We better not ever see you honor Jesus or speak in his name. But Peter, we're in 1 Peter today. Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than what? Human authority. So if you have corruption and evil, and they're telling you, you must do this, Nope, I stand for my God. Is anybody with me? You can redefine marriage all you want to, but I stand with what the Bible says. Okay? You can go ahead and try to tell me that a man can become a woman or a woman can become a man and they can go into these locker rooms, into these bathrooms. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says God created a man and he created a woman and that's it. Church, if we don't begin to take a stand even more with where we're at, we're going to lose our nation. You know, and I put it to you like this. Somebody was like, what's the big deal about a guy going into a woman's locker room if he thinks he's a woman? Can I ask you this? Would you let your neighbor, or would you let someone come and look in your window of your house or someone else's house if you saw it to watch a teenage girl or a woman in there, a man? No, there's not a person in here who would allow that. Not one, because we have laws against that, don't we? So why in the world are we letting men into women's locker rooms and bathrooms? We're hypocritical, aren't we? And that's corrupt and it's evil, and we need to take a stand against it. Boy, it's awfully quiet in here. I thought that was good preaching. Jesus sets the tone for everything that we need to do. And when you take a stand, you have to leave it in the hands of God. That's what Jesus did. Let me end on this today. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. For God called you to do what? Good. And watch this. Even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. Verse 22, he never sinned. He never deceived anyone. He did not retaliate. Is anybody with me on that? That's hard. But who's our example? Jesus. He did not retaliate even when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case. This is it. This is how you do it. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. And when he did that, watch what happened. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. We have the example. And I promise you this. You got to hold me accountable. I'll hold you accountable. This is probably one of the toughest things to live out. To not retaliate. To not get revenge. I mean, honestly, if somebody says something about my wife or kids, it's going to be really hard not to say something back or do something. Anybody with me? Why? Because we're the protectors. We love our family. They're precious to us. These other people don't know them. But you know what? There are just things that have to be water off a duck's back. I was talking with Sean on Wednesday night, we were talking about some things in the community. And he said something that was so profound, but yet it's so simple. Who cares? Let them do what they're going to do. And guess what? We don't let it affect us. We're living how we need to live. We've taken the stand that we need to take the stand, and that's all we can do. That's it. That was great advice. Because we want to retaliate. We want revenge. Jesus showed us the example. And church, he'll lead you into all truth. I get asked as a pastor all the time, how do I know when to do what? As the band comes up and the worship team, let me give you this last verse, John 14:26. But when the Father sends the Advocate, who is the Holy Spirit, as my representative, watch this, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you what, church? He'll teach you everything. And what does he do? He always reminds you of everything that I told you. How do we know what to do in any situation? We have the Holy Spirit with us, and the Holy Spirit always points to the Scriptures. Always. So that's how you know how to live out each situation, is that you have the Word of God inside of you, and you know what to do at the time. If you would stand with me this morning, I would like to pray over you this morning before we sing this song. And as we do this, I don't know what the Scriptures are speaking to your heart today, but I know what it's done in mine, and that is that I must keep a pure heart before God. I've got to make sure that I set that tone and example for my wife and my family and for the church. And all of us need to do the same together. We keep each other accountable. You know, when Cain killed his brother Abel, he said, am I my brother's keeper? He said that to God. And God held him accountable for that. We have to keep each other accountable. You can't do this thing alone, because evil is very powerful. And evil can come in the most subtle ways and get into a life. So as we do life together as believers, as a church, let us go after God with everything we've got, and let us keep one another accountable and encourage one another. Heavenly Father, we love you today. God, I'm so thankful for being able to be in church today with the church. God, to be able to be here, to hear your word, to worship, to pray, to give, to serve. What a great thing this is that you've allowed us to be a part of, that is so life-changing. And Lord, I just pray over our church today, that God, we would stand up against what we need to stand up against unashamedly. But Lord, we would also ask for your power to not retaliate, to not take revenge, even when we're insulted, even when we're mocked and scoffed at, even on an individual level when people are at their job or in the community and people scoff their Christianity and mock them and their family and their stance. God, help us to put it into your hands, because you judge fairly and you will take care of it. That's why you tell us to pray for our enemy. Because if our enemy does not get saved, then they have to deal with you. And that is not a good thing for eternity. So Lord, would you help us with the power of your Holy Spirit today to have a pure heart before you, to get rid of every type of evil in our lives, to not even open the door to it, and to be able to have a heart of honor towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, if you would sing this with us today, would you pray this over you and your family today as we sing this together?